We praise the Lord together again right now. Do you feel blessed today? Has God been good to you? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thankful for the presence of the Lord that we feel here this morning. And I want to say how much I appreciate Brother and Sister Bass and the entire Bass family. They have been friends of ours for so long, and I appreciate Brother Bass not getting too personal with all those things that he remembers that I've done that I don't even remember I'd done. Brother Bass has been a man that I've looked up to. And I'm not saying this for brownie points because I'm already preaching this conference. So there. I appreciate Brother Thrasher already totally crashing conference-style preaching. So we're just going to carry on with that if that's all right. We're not conference preachers. And by the way, I'm the youngest of this wet behind the ears group that's preaching. And I'm not offended that Brother Bass didn't send out invitations. I understand that. That's okay. We're just glad to be here. But I am so thankful for every message that I've heard Brother Bass preach. His spirit, his love for truth. He has impacted my life personally and has already done it again by giving me another book over there. And if I'd had a few more minutes, I'd have read something out of it and tried to preach out of it. But I just didn't have enough time. So we'll have to do that again. Thank you for the wonderful room, accommodations, baskets, everything has just been so great. And in all seriousness, Brother Thrasher, that last night was powerful. Yes. Thank you for obeying the Holy Ghost. Yes. First time I've ever had the privilege of hearing him preach, but we'll do so again. If we have to fly you to Canada, we'll do it. I love the passion that he preached with. Yes. Where is that now? Does this not mean anything to some people anymore? This is the real deal, and we don't have long left. If we get passionate about anything, we need to get passionate about this. I appreciated the anointing and the passion with which he delivered. I so look forward to every other minister that's going to be preaching here following me, and I'm going to be feeling so much better here in a little bit. Glad to have my wife, Jaren, with me here today. I love them both. Jaren is our little gift. It's hard for me to talk about that without getting a little emotional, but God's been good to me. Hallelujah. Do you feel blessed today? Thankful for the presence of God we feel. So glad to see my mom and dad. Vanessa here. Not only is it my dad, but he's my pastor. And that's not just a cliche with me. He is my pastor. Not to insinuate that anybody here just says that, but there are those that do. That's for all the tape ministry. Luke, the 19th chapter, verse number 41. I trust all of those that were here to help the man of God preach last night came back today. Hallelujah. I've already been impacted by this conference. And it's not over yet. I can remember coming here long before I would have ever thought that I would ever stand in this position. And at pivotal key moments in services like last night, it made the difference in my life. And I'm not here just to preach a pretty message, as if I could. But I am here to try to obey the Holy Ghost today. And I want God to have His way. Will you help me for a little bit this morning? Luke, the 19th chapter, verse number 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and he wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. But now, let me just stop here to tell you, there are some things that belong to peace. And if you miss what those are, there's a time frame with it. And once you miss those things that belong to peace, they're gone. You said you don't know the things that belong to your peace, and now they are hid from thine eyes. And you will never know now what it was. I don't want to miss any part of this. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground. Notice this next phrase. And thy children within thee. Brother Thrasher was talking last night. Brother Bass, Brother Shrekis, a bunch of them have mentioned it already. But it's important that this next generation get this. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Why? Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. I'd like to turn your attention a little earlier in the book, and I know you're standing, please bear with me, to the 10th chapter of Luke. Now it came to pass, beginning in verse 38, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about by much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Does anybody have anything troubling you? Can we be honest this morning? Maybe you don't right now, but you have. You're troubled about a lot of things, but only one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part. And that which she chose won't be ever taken away from her. I want to talk to you for a few moments by the help of the Holy Ghost on choosing that needed thing. Choosing that needed thing. Could we ask God to help us for a few moments this morning? God, we love you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, we're not here on any mission today, God, but we're here with one goal in mind, and that is to have a move of your Spirit. We're not under any illusions today, God. If you don't get yourself involved in what we're saying, it'll go flat. Nothing will happen, but somehow reveal yourself to us today, God. Hallelujah. I submit myself to you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Brother, is it Brother Brock? Is that how you pronounce it, Brother Brock? So appreciated what he had to say here a few moments ago. Let me say at the offset this morning, maybe as a little clarification, I do not believe the days of witnessing the miraculous are over. I do not believe that the times of witnessing tremendous, great divine interventions, such as we heard referenced this morning, is over. If you've come to tell me that that day is over, it's too late. I was going to give you a few examples, but I refuse now because Brother Brock already done set a foundation for me tonight. So I agree with everything that he said. I believe it can be witnessed. I believe it is our time. I don't believe there's anything that the first generation church had or experienced that we don't have at our disposal. Nothing. I believe that whatever that they had in their grasp. We have it within our reach. And if we don't experience it, it is not because it's not available, but it's because we're not grasping it. Somewhere we're missing it. So I've come here today to tell you that I have a determination to see more of those things. I want to see God heal folks. I want to experience revival. I want to experience all of these things. And I believe that we will. And we are. And just take my word for it that we're experiencing it in our local assembly. So, and I believe that everybody, if they had the chance to testify, could tell of things that happened. So, I don't believe that it's a bygone and that it's a thing that'll never occur again. But somehow, if we can get ourselves into the right position. We'll get ourselves into the right position. That God can move in our services. He doesn't come to Wednesday night Bible study. And he doesn't come to Thursday morning conferences either with a mentality that we come to sometimes. But he comes here with one thing in mind, and that is he wants to meet with his people. He wants to visit with his people. And when you look at, I believe that Paul, and after I heard that preaching last night again, Brother Thrasher, I believe that the church is in safe hands. There are those that are walking away, but sometimes we focus so much on those that are walking away from it that we lose the focus on those that have that passion and desire to still see it in this day and age. It's not a thing of the past. So I believe when Paul looked at Timothy, he stepped into the realm of the prophetic, and he stepped beyond worrying whether Timothy had it or not. And I know that I'm the youngest that's going to be preaching here, so I don't say this arrogantly, but and I know there's some that may be going, is that MacKillop kid going to have it? And that's fine. Let time demonstrate it. But I'm telling you, when Paul looked at Timothy, he stepped beyond whether Timothy had it. He's seen enough in Timothy to know that Timothy had it. But he stepped into the dimension of saying, when you get to where I am, you commit it. When you get there, not if you get there, but when you get there, you commit it to some faithful men, just like I committed it to some faithful men. This church thing isn't going to die. If God tarries, there always will be a Timothy. So pardon me, I'm not trying to decide whether I love this thing or not. I'm not trying to decide whether this is the way I'm going to travel or not. Do you know what I want to look for? I want to look for my own Timothy. Somewhere there's going to be some faithful men. I believe there's some here today. I've seen some brethren here, some younger men, and I'm young too, so we're all in this boat together. And I'm not trying to lord over anything or pump myself into a position, but I am telling you that there are some men of our caliber and our age that needs to find some other men to start putting this into. Thank God for men like my dad in my life that saw it in me before I saw it in myself. I don't believe that it's a thing of the past or that it's going to be. No, it's now. It's right now. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 So when he said in Luke, he penned it down and said, Jesus said, and I want to talk about this continuity thing. I want to talk about this continuation thing. You understand that when you get into transition mode, some things don't matter. A lot of the fringe benefits can be dropped off. Because you focus on those major things. Not that those other things aren't critical. Those other things are important. But when you get into that transition mode of handing the baton off, you focus on the key things. And so Luke's writing and Jesus said, I want to tell you something. With tears coursing down his face and a whip braided in his hand. He's looking out over that city and he says, ooh, you missed it. You missed it. You missed knowing the things that belong to your peace. And once you missed it, that's it. They're hid from you and you'll never see them again. That's kind of generic. That's kind of general. But he didn't leave us there. No, he brought it home to roost a little bit closer, if you will. And he says, I want to tell you something. There's coming a day when the enemy is going to dig a trench around about you. And they're going to encompass you. And they're going to lay you low. And here is the killer. And the children within you. Ooh. All of the Timothys for Paul are going to die in the womb. You're never going to know whether they were faithful or not because you're not going to be able to give birth to it. You're not going to know. You're not going to know. Don't leave me like this. What? How can I reverse this? And Jesus never just gives judgment without a way out. He said, there's a lot of things that matter, but I'm talking transition now. So I'm gonna streamline it down to one thing that really matters most. You better know the time of my visitation. Don't get hung up on what I do for you. Don't get hung up on my performance. Don't get hung up on all the things that I do. But you better learn, son, if you want to learn anything in this transition, you learn to pick up when I show up. And you better be willing to stop whatever you're doing and say, Jesus is here. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Let me just set a little more of a foundation. But when you start looking at the Gospels, I'm going to try to go as quick as I can here. But I need to start running like Brother Archer does so I can have breath. Brother Bass asked me, sent me an email, you know, do you want any special diet or anything? And I felt like I should be saying yes. But I didn't. So man, I got a basket full of Snickers bars and do you? Hallelujah. But he looked in the gospel. Want me to call an altar call now, brother? Everybody in tape land is going to wonder what we were doing, but that's all right. Should have been here. So, everybody started following Jesus because of what? Not everybody, but the majority. Started following him because they identified him with what he'd done. They focused on what he could do. He could, Brother Tucker, he could take bread and whoop, just, man. And one instance, overnight created a backdraft of followers. And you know what he labeled them as? Loaves and fishes followers. They identified. They didn't see him. They saw him as a healer, not as a Messiah. Now please remember what I told you and hang with me long enough to tell you I believe in healing. All right? We're going to get back to that. But they saw him as a blind eye opener, not as a savior. They saw him as a deliverer. They didn't see him. They didn't see him as a redeemer. Let me stop long enough to tell you, when he comes back, he's not going to say, your healer's drawn nigh. Do you know what he says when he's coming back? Your redemption is drawing nigh. And if all he is to you is a healer, you'll never see him coming. But somehow we need somebody in this generation that can recognize who he is. Yes, he's a healer, but he's my savior. Yes, he's a deliverer, but he's my redeemer. Woo! Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. So they identified him by what he'd done, so driven by deliverance. They wanted to follow signs, 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 signs. Everybody in this generation is after signs. I'm sick of people seeking after signs. It's like a pandemic that's sweeping through the apostolic ranks. Everybody wants the gaga. Everybody wants the wow. Everybody wants the supernatural. And I want it and we can have it. But if you start chasing that,
Let me stop long enough to tell you that there's an antichrist, and however you feel about the prophecy thing, that's your business. But I'm not going to go there at 30 years of age, I can tell you that. You are right, whatever you think. But I am going to tell you. The prophetic. The prophetic. You got it. Done forgot what I was going to say. Seeking the sign. Thank you, Brother Archer. Me and you'd make a preacher. Seeking, seeking, seeking. He said, I'll tell you who seeks after signs. And an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. But that doesn't mean we can't have signs, Brother Bass. Because he also said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. So I've come to tell you that it's not that we can't have signs, but where they are in relation to you tells me a lot about who you are and whether you're a believer or not. If it's something you're chasing, it tells me a lot about who you are. But if you just come to church wanting a touch of the Holy Ghost like that man did, something will overtake you in that service. He didn't come up to get a tumor taken care of. He came because God was not just a healer to him, but God was his redeemer. God was his redeemer. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 You may be seated. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Woo. Let's feel after him again right now.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you this morning that the will of God is important, but the timing of God is equally. It can be the right thing, but the wrong time. God is a God of order. He is a God of time. I'd like to just help somebody here before we carry on too far with this. But everything he starts has an end in mind. Oh, yes, he does. Everything he starts has. He knows the end from the beginning. He reveals his mission statement and he says, let me tell you why I'm here. I'm here to preach. I'm here to deliver. I'm here to do all of these things. But he weaves time into it. I'm also here to preach the acceptable time of the Lord. You need to know the time. To everything, Solomon said, there is a time. So you need to know the time factor. So there's things you may have to go through, Sister Brock. Where are all these faith healers? When you got to stand, hey, and we've witnessed some powerful things. But where are they when you're praying beside the bed of a lady that's on her way out and found out she had cancer 2 or 3 weeks before? Where's all the gaga then? Where is it all then? Now, this is right where we live, but this. Where's all the, come on now. Where is all that fancy stuff when you're in room 613? Just you and cancer. Just you and whatever it is that's afflicting you. Where is it? You know what happens? People start that identify him only as healer. That only identify him as deliverer. Their faith starts to shake. And they start, let me tell you, stop here long enough to tell you, you need to fight for your faith. Everything's after your faith. The situation you're in is after your faith. The devil is after your faith. I've heard some preachers that have ruined my faith. I hope it's not me this morning to you, but I will tell you something. Everything's after your faith. He said, when I come back, let me tell you what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for pedigrees and all of this stuff. Do you know what I'm looking for? Faith. Will I find faith when I return? If you need to hang on to anything, hang on to your faith. Because that's what He's coming back. He's coming back for your faith. But if you have the wrong identity of who He is, and you've not focused in on who He really is, who is Jesus to you anyway? Who is He to you anyway? And if you're not focused on who He is, your faith will start to shake. And it becomes transient. And it becomes...
All right.
And because He didn't meet my expectation. And He didn't heal me as soon as He should have. All of a sudden, that thing that I need to get out of here is shaking. And the devil knows if he can get your faith to shake. He's not after your body. He's after your soul. And so if he can get you to lose your faith over something that's attacking your body, he gets access to your soul. And he knows that. But the Bible says to every man is given the exact measure of faith that he needs. And if faith to you is only a currency by which you can leverage something from God. And if I don't have enough to buy a healing, maybe I can buy 3 weeks without pain, you know, if there's a special. No. Your faith was not given. If your faith is not going to deliver you, do you know what your faith will do? It'll keep you. There is another side to faith. Your faith can deliver you, but your faith can keep you. There, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Sometimes you got to go through things. Sometimes you have to endure things. But don't let it attack your faith. To every man is given a measure of faith. A measure of faith. A measure of faith. For you it may be a little different than for me. And we look at Hebrews the 11th chapter. And we're so results driven in this society that we measure faith by the outcome of the trial. And if the walls didn't fall flat, he didn't have enough faith. And if the Red Sea didn't split, he just didn't have enough faith. And all of a sudden, you've got this backdraft of looking for more faith. Where can I find more faith? I've come to tell you, you got enough to make it. You don't need any more than what he gave you. He said, don't think it strange concerning the fire trials of your faith. This isn't something new that he's just throwing on this generation. Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trials of your faith. There's an end in sight. He said, I tell you what, add faith to faith. That's what Peter said. No, it isn't. You know what he said? Add to your faith. What? Take better care of what he gave you. I'll get off this hobby horse in a minute, but there's just... Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence. Faith is the substance. These people in the world that abuse drugs, we call them substance abusers. And there's a lot of apostolics. And I'm not going to touch that either. But there's a lot of faith substance abusers. They try to live in a euphoric condition that God never intended them to live in. That prodigal son wasted his substance on riotous living. You know what you need to do? Manage what he gave you better. He gave you enough to make it. You know what Pharaoh said? I need someone to manage my substance. Joseph! Get up here. Come here. I need someone to help me manage this thing. You told me we got a famine coming. Now what are we going to do about it? He says, well, I can take care of the substance for you. And he wastes it all on coming up with the latest irrigation methods to divert the famine. No. Don't use your faith to try to stop the trial. Wow, that's not shout material, but don't shoot your faith on trying to keep the famine from coming. If God sends you the famine, but notice, he sent it on a timetable. He said, it's only coming for this long, and then it's over. And I have given you exactly the amount of faith that you need to get from here clear over to here. So do you know what you need to do, Joseph? Build you some storehouses. Start stockpiling some stuff. You got some things headed your way, but you can make it.
Come on.
You can make it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So it's transition time, folks. What do we need? We don't need more faith. We don't need more demonstration. Hang with me. We'll have it. We'll have it. But we can't start seeking it. I'm wondering if there's anybody that would just like to love Him. Is there anybody that would just like to invite Him to your house? Not to ask Him for anything. Woo! You know what we need in this generation? We need young men, myself included, that can tell the visitation. We need church with a visitation. We need song services where there's a visitation. Not a demonstration of how good I am. And I'm a musician and I like it good. We need the kind of church where any planning is done in a big pencil with a much bigger eraser. Wow. I'm just going to have to keep lugging through this one. We got too many prearranged services. You do that at funerals, you know. Where's God? And it's what?
Dead.
You didn't want to say that, did you? It's dead. I don't believe you got to come with no idea where God's going. I believe you can study and pray. But there's got to be a fine balance there between where you come with your agenda or you come waiting, where is He going to visit? If He comes in pre-service prayer, it doesn't matter if we're 30 minutes late starting service, because He's visiting with us. Is that not the whole point of church anyway? You didn't come here today to hear how good I can preach. If you did, you'd be disappointed. But you came here to feel the presence of God and to have God commune with you. We need a visitation. We need conferences. I'm sick and tired, and I say this politely, of going to conferences and being challenged in my mind, but leaving us with the same sick soul. More concern about whether we're going to get to the restaurant or not, or whether we're going to meet and hand out a business card. And nobody wants a visitation with God. And preachers get up and preach their souls. But I love what happened here last night. Where there was a man that preached that had more to a message. You know he did. He was just getting started. But he quickly took the eraser and erased out the rest of what he had in mind for that service and let the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. Amazing things can happen when there's a visitation. Amazing things can happen when we chase after God. By the way, that's not Tommy Tenney's idea. We need somebody that's seeking after Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these other things will be added unto you. So we need people that can pick up on a visitation. We don't need people just so hung up on deliverance that they come and leave disappointed if they leave in the same physical condition. If this gets going too far, you just... Let me tell you what old... He said, Martha, 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 you got a problem. You're troubled. You're troubled about a lot of stuff. You got a lot of stuff on your mind, Martha. And I'm in the house. I want to tell you, He wants to help you more than what we let Him help us a lot of times. He said, I'm sitting here, and now you're asking me to stop communing with Mary. And you're asking me to send her to the kitchen to serve. I'm here. I'm in the house. All of those other things are important, but not needed. Oh, did you get that? All of those things can be important, but they're not needed.
Yes, sir.
All right. We need some people that can learn to differentiate between important things and needful things.
Right.
Yes, there are important functions in a church service, but never when He shows up.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything is inferior when He shows up. Why do you want to keep dusting the shelves and washing the dishes and cooking up meals when He's in the house? Mary has chosen that good thing. Anybody want that good thing? Does anybody want that needful thing? She chose it. She said, I want you more than anything else. I want to tell you, there's a lot that goes into getting ready for a visitation. But if you invite me over to your house and you're not quite ready, I'd a whole lot rather you just sit down and fellowship with me than keep cooking for me and getting ready and dusting and vacuuming and doing it. I want you to visit with me. That's why you invited me. If I would have wanted just a good meal, I'd have went to the restaurant. I came for fellowship with you. Mary's vacuum. And I say this as kindly as I can. There's too many church services that we just keep vacuuming. We keep just taking the offering and we just sing our three little songs. And bless God, that choir is going to sing because they practiced. They're not going to sing because God's interested. They're going to sing whether He wants to hear it or not. I'm a choir director. I can say these things. I've practiced. But you know what? If I get there and all of a sudden He tells me, you know, I really like steak. I really like steak. I'm not bringing bologna out.
Yeah.
I'm on feeding steak. So in that service, when God starts touching those things He likes, it's called theme. Heaven. Talking about heaven. Talking about healing. Whatever it is. It can be anything that He so chooses. But when He goes, oh, I like that. I'm not going to start singing about the blood. I don't care how I don't care how good the song is the choir sang. I'm going to wait. Because He showed up. And He sat down. And there's some people in the midst that are troubled. That if we could get them to visit with Him. Is this too far out? If we could get them to visit with Him. If we could get them in a relationship. I wouldn't have to preach standards so hard. I wouldn't have to preach holiness so hard. There's a lot of things that I wouldn't have to preach like I preach. Because if they have a relationship with Him. Moses had a relationship with Him. And when he came down off the mountain, everybody else, just in a few absence days of leadership, was taking their clothes off. But he'd been in the presence of God and was covering up. If you're in the presence of God, it takes care of a lot of holiness issues. It takes care of a lot of issues because you're fellowshipping with Him. Oh, I want to know the time of visitation. Hallelujah. How much time do we have left this morning? I want to tell you, old Job had lost everything. Walked away from fresh graves. He'd lost his home. His wife was going off. So why don't you curse God and die? And if he would have been deliverance driven, his faith would have been shaking at that time.
Why are you doing this to me, God? Let me tell you something. Sometimes you go through things because you need to go through things to learn things. Sometimes you go through things to be set on a pedestal. While Job was sleeping, God was negotiating and said, have you considered? It wasn't Lucifer that brought the suggestion to the table. God said, I got a man that could prove some things to you. God took the hedge down. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. God done it, and he had the revelation that God does these things. You need to get the revelation that the devil doesn't control the hedge. That's God's business. If the devil could control the hedge, he'd have dropped it a long time ago. And when it hit the ground, he'd never have intentions of it coming back up. But God dropped the hedge. It's God's responsibility. And Job is sitting there going, do you know what? No time now to be cursing God and dying. I'm a visitation guy. I don't know where he is. And I look this way and I can't find him. And I look that way. And I've looked here and I've looked there. I don't know where he is, but I know one thing. He knows the path that I take. And said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not praying for 7 or 10, however many kids he had, to be resurrected. Do you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for a visitation. And he said, in the midst of his trial, he said, the Lord hath preserved my spirit and my soul. How, Job? By his visitation. Not by what he'd done for me. Because if I measured on what he'd done for me, I'd think he was mad at me. But he visited with me. I want you to know something. You can go through anything. As long as he'll visit with you. No! I'm not suggesting that we line up for free tickets to cancer. I'm not sadistic. But I am telling you something. That as long as God will visit you, you can handle anything, brother. You can handle anything. You can make it, sister, as long as God will keep visiting with you. Don't ever stop visiting me. And that's why I'm telling you it's critical that we learn to detect the time of his visitation before we get into these situations. Let me explain to you why Jeremiah, the old prophet Jeremiah, known for his old pessimistic doom and gloom preaching. If we measured it by success, Jeremiah is not an example. If we measure it by numbers, he's not an example. But God talked to Jeremiah. And he went to Jeremiah and he said, I want to tell you something. It's coming. There's 70 years. 70 years. Notice that timing again? It's not indefinite. The captivity thing doesn't last forever. And I'm going to give you enough faith to make it. I don't know how we're going to make it, God. And Jeremiah's listening. God said, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you how. How am I going to know when the end is coming? How am I going to know when it's getting close? He said, there's coming a day, Brother Tom, when I will visit with my people. And I will once again turn again the captivity. Jeremiah goes, I can handle this as long as you visit with me. I can take this as long as you visit with me. Why? Because Jeremiah was visitation driven. Will you just ride with me just for a little more? We'll try to turn the light on here at the end of the tunnel. He said, I'm visitation driven, brother. Hananiah steps up in chapter 28 and he says, I want to tell you, I got a word from God too. He was deliverance driven. Tell you what, God's talked to me too. And he told me that in 2 years' time, God's going to return the captivity.
Jeremiah is standing there and he's saying this in all the presence of the prophets and all the presence of the priests and everybody that's gathered together. He's talking to Jeremiah. And God told me, 2 years, it's over. You hear me? The vessels are coming back. The king's coming back. The people's coming back. It's over. Jeremiah is standing there knowing very well that God told him 70. And God's not bipolar. But even Jeremiah had a man side to him. He said, amen. Let it be so. I'm in captivity too. This is just not something he's sending you into. Like we're in this boat together. Let it be so. Let it be so. I said, I just need to throw a little warning out here. Just let me throw. Let's look at the history book. All those old prophets used to prophesy. And when they prophesied of doom, destruction, pestilence. And let it be known. And here's Jeremiah standing there with a wooden yoke around his neck, symbolic of the people that were in bondage. And he's standing there with this gaudy necklace thing on. No, we don't believe in that, but that, here it is hanging there. And he says, Hananiah, I want to tell you, the prophet that prophesies of peace when his words come to pass, let it be known that he is a man of God. He said, furthermore, and this is where all of these guys that brag of the faith healing thing, where are they when you really need them, you know? And Jeremiah looked at him and he said, tell you what, you're bragging about what God's going to return. Well, why don't you just keep what we got from leaving? So where are all these guys that can heal all these people? Don't just keep me from getting sick. Don't heal me. Said, look, Hananiah, just keep it from happening. If you're Mr. Tough Guy and you got the leverage with God, keep it from happening. Hananiah is standing there. He says, oh, let it be known again. And he reaches out and he grabs the yoke from off of his neck and he breaks it. And he says, let it be known that in 2 years' time, it's going to come. And Jeremiah never says another word. He just turns on his heel and starts to walk out. And God, the same God that spoke to him and told him that it was going to be 70 years, said, you go back in and talk to Hananiah and you tell him that this year he's going to die because he hath caused my people to believe a lie. I say this as carefully as I know how. But God caused this to jump out at me as I was studying. And he said, do you know what else? You tell him he's going to die because he has taught my people to rebel against the Lord. And this is the question that I asked myself. How much of my preaching that I do in an attempt to build faith and instill hope, God views as inciting the people to rebel against the time frame? Well, maybe that's too heavy, but I don't want to just crank people up. God can do it. God can do it. Jump, 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 jump. God can do it. God. And he can. But what if he doesn't after you crank them up? Where does their faith go? Somewhere you've got to say, do you know what? Brother, sister, I don't know how God's going to take care of it. But I tell you one thing. If you lock in on his timing of visitation, you don't get so cranked about what he can and can't do, because all of a sudden there'll be more questions than what you got answers. How come he touched this one and how come he didn't touch that one? How you lock in on his visitation. And Jeremiah swings through the door and he delivers the message. But then he turns to the people and he says, I want to tell you, folks, you need to remember what God told me. God told me that there's an end in sight. Yes, we got to go 70 years, and he told me to remind you that it's going to be 70 years. You go down there and plant gardens, and you eat the produce of it, and you build houses, and you have children, and you let your children grow up, and you let them marry kids. We're going to be here a while. But we're not here forever. We're just here for a while. And when the fullness of time comes, I will visit with my people and return the captivity once again. Once again, you're going to go back home. Once again, there's going to be peace. And you know what you do? You start praying for the peace of the city. This is what he told them. Pray for the peace of the city that I sent you to. Pray for the trial. Pray for the surround. Yeah. And he said, when the city has peace, you'll have peace. So the immediate question that comes, and I can hear it now, is, so what's the point of prayer then, sir? The point of prayer is for peace. You know what the other point of prayer is? This. When Jesus went into the garden, the cup and the will were two separate things. And as long as they were separate, he wrestled and he prayed and he turmoiled. And he said, not my will, but thine be done. And notice, the thing that he didn't want was always inferior to the thing that he wanted. Let me say that again. You got to get this. The thing that he didn't want always was inferior to the thing that he wanted. Do you know what he wanted more than anything else? To be in the will of God. Do you know what he didn't want? He didn't want the cup. But when he put it on a scale, he said, if it's your will, I know I can handle it. And the moment that the cup and the will became one, prayer was a success. The purpose of prayer is to unite the cup with the will. And he rose up and said, let us be going. I want to tell you today, as we're coming to a close, I want you to know more than anything, you can make it through whatever you're going through. If you'll learn the time of his visitation, you'll make it through whatever you're going through. Moses said, I'm supposed to be a deliverer. He was raised to be a deliverer. He was from the time that he was a baby, it was primed, it was pumped in him. You are the one. And so when he was grown, the Bible says that he walks out and he sees some Egyptians abusing one of his brethren, and deliverer mentality kicked in. And he walks in. And he takes advantage of the situation. Feels pretty good about himself until all of a sudden it starts to leak out. And God says, we're back at this timing thing. God says, it's not time. It is the will of God for you to be a deliverer. But it's 400 years. And I'm not negotiating for 375. It's 400. Because I gave you what it takes to make it. And I'll keep showing up. To keep visiting with you. Moses, learn to visit with me. Don't be so driven to lead to deliverance, but learn to visit with me. And he makes his way back out across that wilderness. It's not punishment, folks. It's a time where God can take his ministry to another level. And he's walking along, and it's a test for Moses. Here's a true test of deliverance. Can you pick up on my time of visitation? And he walks by that bush. And something said, there's something different about this. And he turned aside, and God said, oh, stop, whoa! Take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. And he took his shoes off. And he heard God speak to him like he had never heard God speak before. He basked in the presence of God. And you know what we're witnessing? We're witnessing the transformation of a deliverer into a man passionate for visitation. And as he slowly turns and walks away and laces up those shoes, Brother Bass, he's already thinking about, he wasn't thinking about Egypt. Go. I want you to be the deliverer now because you understand the importance of the timing of my visitation. And he walks back in there to lead those people to a visitation. You hear me? He wasn't after just leading them to Canaan because he never even made it. But don't you feel sorry for him?
Oh, God. But the problem is this. The tension is this. The people followed him for deliverance while he was leading them to a relationship. You know what they're thinking? Milk! Honey! Canaan land! Bring it on! Let's go, Moses! Hip, hip, hooray! The big wow! The God! Everything! It's time we put in our time! And Moses is reliving those moments by that bush thinking, my God, if it was that good with me standing barefoot in the sand talking to you by myself, can you imagine what it's going to be like with a million plus people? Think of the church service we're going to have. But they're following him saying, milk, honey, bring it on. Deliverance, power, wow. And finally Moses lifts up his eyes and says, we're almost there. We're almost to the visitation. The same thing, that keen awareness that he developed all by himself in the wilderness started to prick inside of him that said, it's getting close. The time is getting close. And he looks at the people and says, we're here. And they look around and say, my God, it's still the wilderness. Why did he deliver them out? I know he was sending them to the promised land. I know that. But seven times in Exodus he says, I brought you out to bring you to myself. To bring you to myself. To bring you to my mountain. To bring you to myself. You can come to the music, Brother Bass. I'm bringing you for the purpose of communing with you. I want to have a relationship with you more than I want to feed you manna. I want to have a relationship with you more than I want to give grapes and honey and all this stuff. I want to commune with you. And the people said, you go up on the mountain. Can you imagine the disappointment in that leader when he finally realized they only want what God can do. They don't want him. I want him. And God said, Moses, I'm sick and tired of the murmuring. Just take him on into the promised land. Moses said, I got one question. Are you going? Where are you going to be? Oh, Moses, I'm not going, but I'll send an angel. He said, hey, brakes on, stop, whoa! What good is milk and honey? If I can't walk by a bush and find you speaking and wooing to me again. Oh, hallelujah. Does anybody feel like you want to visit with him today? Oh, God. To bring it all to a close this morning. These signs shall follow. We're going to experience it. You know where our greatest revival is? In visitation. And not visiting, but visitation. That's where our greatest healings are going to come from. Service is not where I walk down and slap my hand on your head and I can leave and go, man, when I prayed for them, that tumor hit the ground. No! The kind of visitation that when the Holy Ghost moves in, nobody is praying for anybody. Everybody's just not asking God for anything. We're just talking to Him. And He's communing with us. And it's in those moments that cancers disappear. And marriages get put back together. And nobody leaves going, look what I accomplished. Look what my preaching brought about. Look what I've done when I obeyed the Holy Ghost. But if everybody comes to church saying, where are you? When are you going to show up? And while Mary was at his feet, she caught a revelation that nobody else caught. She caught the revelation that Judas and Peter and John and James and none of them caught. You know what she caught? She caught the fact that I'm going to die. And I'm going to be buried. And I'm going to raise again. And she anointed him before everybody else even caught the revelation. She anointed him when they all thought it was a waste. But she believed him. Because she wasn't chasing after signs. The signs were chasing her. What do you say about that village? The unbeliever. I couldn't do a lot of things there because of the unbelief. Saved, Luke said, I healed a few sick folk. And you know what? A lot of our church services would be going AWOL crazy if God came in and healed a few sick folks. But God could leave saying, I never even tapped into it. Nobody just sat down and communed with me. I performed, but that's it. And you know what? The Antichrist is going to do the same thing. And there's going to be a lot of people that get tripped up with that guy because he can perform. But Mary said, no, I'm not chasing what you can do. I don't want you to die, but I'm going to believe that if you tell me you're going to die and that you're going to be resurrected. I've never really witnessed that before, but if you tell me that you can be resurrected, I'll believe you because of who you are. Our relationship can support that revelation. Even when I've never seen it before, I'll believe you. And Jesus said, I like that. So do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send a sign to follow you. You're not going to notice it as a sign because it's going to come up in the sign of a sick brother. And he's going to die. And it's going to appear like I'm wasting time. But I know our relationship can handle this, Mary. Stay with me. When I visited with you, I told you that I was going to die and that I'd resurrect again. And I'm going to demonstrate to you the symbol. I'm going to give you a sign. Lazarus! Come forth! And Mary witnesses with her own eyes what he had told her all of those weeks before that was going to happen in her life. At that point, she never once again questioned whether or not he was ever going to raise from the dead. Because the sign that followed the visitation. So I've not come to tell you today that signs are over. No. I've just come to tell you that we need to choose the right thing. I believe that healing can be for this sister. Yeah. I believe it can happen in Holy Ghost worship service is what I believe. There's nothing wrong with praying for folks. I understand that. But there's nothing more beautiful than people leaving a service and calling you back up saying, oh, by the way, sometime through the service, I don't know when it happened, but just while we were visiting with him, something happened to me. That's the kind of church we need to get this from this generation to the next. If we don't want the children to die in the womb, we get to know the time of visitation. Anybody interested in this thing, getting into the next generation, could we stand today?